Thank you, Jen. She's a good-looking singer. What are you? I'd like to take a moment, yes, and acknowledge once again our brothers, our sisters, who God has providentially led to us in our congregation, and that is welcome to Seven Oaks Baptist Church. This is the last time we will be saying welcome to Seven Oaks Baptist Church here, because you are going to be part of the IBC family. These people are not coming in as visitors. They're coming in as members of our church, active members. Most of them have already even completed our membership course, our membership class. We did that together, and that was a fantastic time. And so, if once again, I know I've asked you to stand and sit and stand, but if you're from Seven Oaks and you're here with us, once more, would you please just stand and let us say welcome and acknowledge your presence here with us. Stand up if you're Seven Oaks people. Okay, sit down. And what comes with the package is their pastor. All right, he comes with it. So, you know, new member of the church and pastor at IBC, who will be assisting and myself working with us here in the care and concern of the church, in young adults and working with men's ministries, and many, many, many other things that he doesn't know about yet. But it's a joy and pleasure, and I'd like you just to just hear a little bit from him, his heart, and his lovely wife, Gina, who've been fantastic friends to us for a long time, since he's been in the country, basically, in 1999, since 99. So Pastor Mike and Gina, welcome, and would you please come up at this time?
Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor Ken. It certainly is a pleasure to be here with you. This is a day that we have been looking forward to for a very long time. It's not a day that came lightly either. It's something that we began praying about and talking about, Pastor Ken and myself, more than a year ago. And with that, we shared that with our wives. Me and Gina began to pray about this, and Pastor Ken and Jennifer began to pray, and then our families, and then eventually our leadership teams, and then eventually the full congregations from both Seven Oaks Baptist Church and International Baptist Church. And so the day is finally here. And we believe that this is something that the Lord has brought together. And for that, we're grateful to Him first. And then also, let me just say this to those of you of International Baptist Church. Thank you so much for the warm welcome that you've given Gina and I and our family. And then each of those who are a part of Seven Oaks Baptist Church, the warm welcome that you have opened your arms to allow them to come along and to be a part of this. I'll tell you, you have gained some top quality people. Many of these people we have known for a number of years. Dear Christians, wonderful Christian people, and you have really gained some of the top believers, I think, that you can find anywhere. And then to those of those of Seven Oaks Baptist Church, let me just say this. Thank you for being willing to come along with us. Thank you for your support and your planning and your preparation for this day as well. As you join with International Baptist Church, I can assure you, you are in good hands with Pastor Ken and the leadership team here. And again, let me just say thank you all for the way that the Lord has used you to bring our two congregations together to now be one congregation. I like what Pastor Ken said, that this is the last time that we'll say those from Seven Oaks Baptist Church. We are now International Baptist Church, and for that we're very grateful, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us all together.
So would you all stand with me? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I do want to encourage us, though, as we... Were you standing, Helen? Oh, okay. I want to encourage you all today. The message is about keeping a Christ focus at Christmas. Because I fear that, you know, the world that we live in, it's very, very easy to lose that focus at this time of year, to lose that focus on what it's about, why we're celebrating Christmas to begin with. And I thought it was so funny, Sister Lolita up here, and she's reminding us all, it's not the silly season. And that's one of the first things in my message that I was pointing out is, it's not the silly season, and you stole it from me. And then Jennifer comes up and says the same thing, and so would you guys just like to preach the message? Come on. But I've been hearing that a lot, and I don't know why. It's the silly season again. And, you know, the first time I heard it, I'm like, what? What does that mean? What does that mean? It's not the silly season. It's the season we recognize an event that changed eternity, an event that changed the world, that changed our destiny, our eternal destiny forever and ever. This is not silly. This is earth-shaking. This is life-changing. This is life-transforming. This is not the silly season. And I want to say a few things about Christmas first. Some things that I like about Christmas. Okay, as a Christian believer, things I like about Christmas. I like Christmas trees. Amen? We have a Christmas tree here. We got a Christmas tree in the foyer. We got a Christmas tree in the back. We got a Christmas tree in the corner. We got too many Christmas trees. I got one at home. Lots of Christmas trees. And I have actually met some believers that have a problem with Christmas trees. Have you ever met a believer with a problem with a Christmas tree? I've even heard some use Jeremiah 10 as a biblical reason that we shouldn't have Christmas trees. Now, listen to this. Do we have this on overhead? Do we? Yep, we do. Okay, listen. Jeremiah 10:3 says, "For the customs of the peoples are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest." Hello. "And a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold and lights. And they fasten it with a hammer and nail so it will not totter." Does that sound like a Christmas tree to you? Kind of does, doesn't it? Kind of freaky, isn't it? Listen, I just want to encourage you. This is not referring to Christmas trees. And you read the other verses, it's talking about making an idol. They would take a tree from the forest, they would shape it, they would layer it with gold, they would put silver, they would make their stupid false idols out of these things, out of these materials, these raw materials. I like Christmas trees. So when we put a tree up, it's not our idol. We're not here to worship that thing. We're here to celebrate the birth of a Savior. And I believe that is a good thing to celebrate. Enjoy the lights, enjoy the fun, enjoy the festivities. The Christmas tree is not an idol. The second thing I like is buying presents. Buying presents. Why do we do this? Like I said, the wise men responded to the birth of Jesus in a way that they would buy gifts. And they brought Jesus gifts. And that's a good thing. In the Old Testament, many times when there was something fantastic that happened, the people would buy gifts and even buy gifts for one another. It's a good thing. It's okay to give gifts. I would encourage you, don't listen to all the advertisements. Don't listen to all the hype out there. Don't go crazy and silly and into huge debt because your kid has to get the newest whatever it is this year. Don't do that. Don't take the focus. That's taking the focus in the wrong things. All right? Simplicity is good. Simplicity is good. We're not here to spoil the kids and say, now that's what Christmas is all about. In your bulletin, I wrote a little note. I don't know if you read it, but back in 1989, I went to a sales convention. I was working for an electronics retailer, and they wanted me to go to this sales convention. You remember that, Jen? I told you about it. We were together, right? Yeah. I was hoping it was her that I was. We weren't married yet. Where were we? Sorry. Okay, well, anyway, I went to this convention alone, and one of the speakers, he got up, and the first thing he says, "You know what Christmas means to me?" He says, "It means money. It means making lots of money. That's what Christmas is all about." He said it so blatantly, and the whole night kind of went on from there of Christmas is about sales. This is supposed to inspire you. This was supposed to lift you up and get you ready to go out and sell. And you know what it did to me? It depressed me. It discouraged me. I'm like, no, this isn't what it's about. This is never what it's about. So, buy presents, yes. But remember, that's not what it's about either. And teach your kids, guys, be thankful. You get one little present, be thankful for that one. And if you're not sure if this is the case in your home, just watch your kids on Sunday or on Christmas morning. And if they get through opening all their presents and they say, is this all? Then you got a problem, okay? Work on that. What else do I as a Christian believer like? I even enjoy even Santa Claus. Okay? Santa Claus. Why? Because it's a lot of fun. I grew up with Santa Claus as well. And many of you guys did. Did they have Santa in China? Is he a Chinese Santa? Or is he the same one? I think there's one universal Santa. And again, I've known other believers that just say, oh, this is terrible. We can't even mention Santa. You know, you change some words and it spells Satan. You know, don't do that. But, you know, we've taken our kids to sit on Santa's lap and they cry and scream when they're too young and they enjoy it. But again, just be careful that you don't go building up this image of a god. No, he's a man. And even the original Saint Nick was just a man who enjoyed giving some presents to children. What I'm saying is this. Enjoy some of the festivities of Christmas season. Enjoy the lights. Enjoy the music. It's funny, in New Zealand we still sing songs about White Christmas and Jingle Bells and riding through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. We still sing it. Why? Because we enjoy it. It has no relevance here whatsoever, unless it hails really bad one day. But we enjoy it. So enjoy it, but at the same time, I want us to not get too caught up where we can't hear the simple whisper of God. We live in a time that is not like any other time. I know. You know, I'm getting older when I start reminiscing about the past and the way it used to be. When I was in high school, we went to a full-service petrol station when they used to have full service. They would fill it for you and check your oil and stuff like that. And it was only 60 cents a liter in about 1985. 60 cents a liter. Houses were much, much cheaper in 1985. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, average house would cost you about $100,000, 1985. Is that about right? Anyone correct me, Jillian? Huh? I'm sure it depends on the house, but $100,000 gets you into a decent house. What can $100,000 get you now? You pay your rates with that. Our first church property in the mid-80s was only about $40,000. And we bought two large sections, residential sections, for that first piece of property, $40,000. But prices aren't the only thing that's changed over the years. Prices aren't the only thing that's changed. We live in a society now where people go around shooting people for no reason or point. Last week, did you hear on the news some young teenage boys driving by? They shot an elderly 80-something-year-old lady a few times with, they weren't high power rifles, but they were like BB or pellet guns, air guns. They shot her, put her in the hospital again. She just got out of the hospital for another problem. Why? Why? We have kids growing up without both parents, and some kids not even knowing both parents. We live in a society where we let other people raise our kids. A stay-at-home mom is seldom heard of anymore. We live in a society now where premarital sex is not only condoned, but it's considered normal. It's considered good. We do live in a society where even mums are taking their daughters and getting them put on birth control. We live in a society where abstinence is not even an option, but rather is considered old-fashioned, out of date. You go trying to tell people that I saved myself for my husband or for my wife, did not have sex until we were married, and they scratch their head and say, what? How? Why? The language that is common today is just getting worse. The language on television is just getting worse. Even cartoons today. It's not like it was. What happened to Bugs Bunny? What happened to the Roadrunner? Some of my favorites. Where are they? And today there seems to be too many gray areas, not enough black and white areas. And I want to ask the question, is there any hope for our country? Is there any hope for our community? Is there hope? And I believe that we have to say emphatically, yes, there is hope. Take a look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse number 3, says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have a new hope. What is our hope in? It's in Jesus Christ. Through what? Through this resurrection from the dead. We have a living Savior. We have a Savior. We have a one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am God. And when He died, He didn't stay dead. He rose again from the grave, demonstrating to all that He has power over death. And therefore, those of us who put our trust in Him that says, I give you that same power, we can have that hope as well. There is hope for our world. There is hope for New Zealand. But it's not going to be found in laws. It's not going to be found in the government. It's going to be found in Christ. It's going to be found in the church. I believe changing one life at a time, transforming one life at a time, can change a country. But don't wait on other people to do it. We need to begin where we are. Take a look now at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. There was a problem here that Isaiah was dealing with. A problem. And I want to make sure that today we don't fall into this same kind of trap that the Jews, the Israelites, were falling into when Isaiah wrote this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10 says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wicked cities that were destroyed? So this is not a compliment here. All right? This is not a compliment. He says, hear the word, hear the law, the multitude of your sacrifices, all the sacrifices you're giving. What are they to me? Says the Lord. I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. You're bringing all these animals all the time. You're sacrificing all the time. I've had enough. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Wow. Let's pray. Lord, I want to listen to you today. I want to hear from you. And I do pray, Father, that when we leave this place, it will not be, oh, Pastor Ken really speaks well. Isn't he gifted? But it will be, God, you have spoken to me. You've spoken to us. And so, Lord, we give you permission today to speak to us, to challenge us, to transform our lives, our thoughts, our attitudes, everything. And Lord, if there's anything that is not pleasing to you, that you will bring it to the front, that you will bring it out in our lives, And may we be willing and bold enough to come and confess it before you and leave it behind. In the name of Jesus, amen. Five difficult passages. Difficult verses. I want to first say that I think this at least shows that you can be very sincere in your efforts. Very sincere in your devotion, in your going through your motions and your rituals, your religious duties, but still not be acceptable to God. Amen? This is possible. You can do this. Second, I think that even doing some of the right things, even doing right things can be done in a wrong way. What these people were doing, you know, these the offerings, the burnt offerings, this was given in the law. It was some of the right things that they should be doing. But even doing the right things in the wrong way is still the wrong thing. Do you hear me? The right things, if done in the wrong way, is the wrong thing. God says, I can't stand this anymore. I cannot take this anymore. This is not acceptable. This is not good. This is not pleasing. He says, I can't even hear your prayers. But this whole passage can be summed up in a few words. God is tired of people playing church instead of being the church. Amen? Do I hear amen? God is tired of people playing the church instead of being the church. We don't have time to play church. We don't have time and the liberty to play church. There's too much at stake. There's too much going on. There's too much things to do. There's too much importance in what we do that we really don't have time to play church. It's not an option. What is the church? Is it this building that we're in? Absolutely not. It's not the extension we're going to build. It's not these walls. The church can be everywhere. The church is the baptized believers. The church and field. When you go to school, young people, younger people, you're going there, you're part of the church. And you're out in the mission field. And you ought to view yourselves as missionaries in your areas where you are. 1 Peter 2. Verse 4 reminds us, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. The Bible likens us as stones. You're a rock. You're a brick. You're a brick in this church. We make up the church. It's not this brick, it's not this plaster, it's not the jib and the wood. You make up the church. You are the building materials. You are the church. Nothing else. If you're here today and you profess Christ as your Savior, you are the church. And the truth is, you may be the only Jesus that some people see in your life. Out around us, everywhere we go, you may be the only Jesus they see. When you leave these doors, you are leaving not only as a representative of International Baptist Church, but you also are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere you go. Amen? You're representatives. You represent Him. People see you. They know you're a believer. And yes, if you're living a hypocritical life, yes, it pains me for people to say, hey, that person's from International Baptist Church. But what pains me more is for people to say, they're supposed to follow Christ. They represent what Christianity's all about. They represent Jesus. Why is it important for us to be good representatives? When we, as Christians, see other people professing one thing and living something different, then we say they're living a lie. They're hypocrites. But when the lost see you doing the same thing, professing this, professing that Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, but see you living something else completely, then they see that as just a lie too. That is just a lie. We say we love Him with our mouth, but our actions don't reflect it. Ephesians 2, verse 10, and I'd like you to read this one with me, out loud, with your mouth. Ready? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, some of you in here, I think it says prepared for good looks. It doesn't say good looks. It says good works. Big difference. Big difference. I want to give us a few ways that people try to play church sometimes. Are you playing church? Or are you truly the church? Are you playing church? Let's look at a few ways. Number one is this. There is a lack of concern for the lost. Lack of concern for lost. We may come in, we may sing a song or two. The offering comes by, we put some money into it. We'll go to a banquet. There's food there, that's good. We go to a banquet, and we'll even try to stay awake during the sermon. And I'm looking today, especially today. Last night, some of us were up till midnight here. And then we go home and try to get into bed and fall asleep. And the eyes are just kind of like, hurry up and sleep. Doesn't work that way. So I'm watching. But we try to stay awake during the sermon. But the idea of asking someone to come with us, or the idea of being a witness and a testimony to someone, forget it. We play church when our prayers don't include others who need the Lord. We play church when our prayers are constantly, Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless my family. And it's all about me. But we don't have a concern for people who are on the outside. People who are lost. People who are still in their sins. People who are dying and on their way to a godless eternity. Do we have a concern for lost people? That's what we're here for. We're here to reach the lost and build up the body of Christ. Do you have a concern for the lost? The second way we play church is even in our attendance. We'll come to church most of the time. If there's nothing else on, if there's no other event that, you know, I just got to go to, and if I have plenty of sleep, then okay, I'll make some time and go to church. But Sunday night, forget it. That's my time. A life group, I'm too busy in the week for that. Let me give you a reason why we should continue to meet together. I'm talking about even more than a Sunday morning get-together. All right? Let me give you one reason why. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So it doesn't say meet less and less together. It says keep meeting together even more, as you see the day of Christ approaching, as you see things around us start to fall apart, as we see a world that doesn't have much time left before Christ returns again. You must keep meeting together. You must keep exhorting each other. You must keep building each other up. We need it. And when we're together, and when we exhort each other and build each other up and encourage each other and pray for each other, it's like that hot coal picture. You got a whole pile of hot coals, and they're burning, glowing, white hot. And as long as they're together, they're glowing hot. But you take one of those coals out and you put them off to the side by himself. What happens quickly? It cools off. It cools off. And time and again, I've seen Christians white hot for the Lord. And something comes in and kind of takes away their passion, takes away their joy, takes away the fire. Something comes into their life. It's busyness, it's responsibilities, it's the stresses, who knows? But something comes in and they slowly begin to withdraw just a little bit. I'll give God time, my leftover time. But don't expect much more than that. I'll give God whatever is left. And it doesn't take long, and that flame kind of dwindles. They get cool. They get lethargic. They get apathetic to the things of God. And that passion that fueled them, that passion that fueled them is not there. I went to school, Bible school. I went to 4 years at Bible school. And I went with a lot of students. There were 1,000-some students when I was in school. 1,000-some students. Many graduated. I graduated with 200 people. And I cannot tell you how many of those people are no longer serving the Lord today. Some of my closest friends no longer serving the Lord. No longer even married. What happened? What happened? Let me tell you, something crept in. Took away their fire, took away their zeal, and they were separated. They cooled off. They cooled off. Don't play church in attendance. I need you. You need me. You need each other. We need each other. Being a part of church is not what's going to get you into heaven. Only having your name in the book of life gets you into heaven. Only receiving Christ as your Savior, personally, making that conscious decision to confess and say, Lord Jesus, receive me, forgive me for my sins. That's what gets you into heaven. Not church attendance, don't get me wrong, but Christian believer. Those of us who are the church, don't forsake assembling. Don't play church. Number three way we play church is in our appearance. We play church sometimes like kids play superheroes. You ever seen Batman? Or not Batman? Okay. You seen Spider-Man? Who's Batman's alter ego? What's his real name? Bruce Wayne. Spider-Man? Peter Parker. Peter Parker. Peter Parker. Peter Parker. I liked Spider-Man. When I was a kid, I wanted to be Spider-Man. I liked, you know, shooting out the webs. And so we'd get together and we'd discuss who's playing which, and I never wanted to be Wonder Woman, but I'd always be, you know, Spider-Man. And we put on the costume, we put a mask on our head, and we'd pretend to be this great superhero. A lot of Christians play spiritual superheroes. And they put on their costume. They put on their mask. But when they leave, when things get difficult, they become just the Peter Parker again, just Bruce Wayne. Sometimes we come to church and we never let people see who we are. We never open up. We play church. That's not what it's about. That's not what we're supposed to be. So how can we be the church? I don't want to play church, and I hope that you don't want to play church. Don't play church. How do we be the church then? How can we live godly lives in this corrupt world? Look back at Isaiah 1 again, where we started. Verse 16 gives the people some simple answers, what they need to do. And let's take a look at a few points. Verse 16 of Isaiah 1. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong and learn to do right. Verse 16 and 17, there's three things that it gives us to start with. Number one is wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. As Christians, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. As Christians, we allow sin in our lives. We allow sin in our lives, but the Bible reminds us, 1 John 1, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when this verse says to you to wash yourselves, to make yourselves clean, it's not something that you can do in your strength and your power. When you come to Christ, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I'm not asking if you go to church or anything like that, but you're not a Christian. You've never received Jesus as your Savior. You never made that decision, crossed the line. If you're here today and you've never done that, the call is still to wash yourselves clean. But I want to tell you that you cannot do it on your own. You cannot wash yourself clean. The only thing you can do is come to Jesus Christ and say, God, Jesus, come into my life. Cleanse me from the inside out, not the other way around. Forgive me of my sins. Take them away from me. I want to be a child of yours. I want to be your child today. That's the only thing you can do. And the Bible says that the blood of Christ, the blood that He shed on the cross, His sacrifice for you, washes your sins. It washes all the filth away. It washes the sin away. And it makes you pure as white, pure as snow. God's, Christ's sacrifice for you completely paid for all your sin. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. There's no more condemnation. Are you saved? Have you been washed? Have you been cleansed? The second thing He says to do, and Christian, by the way, Christian, on point number one, have you allowed sin an open door in your life? If you have, you're opening a door to trouble, and you're robbing yourself of God's power in your life, because God cannot work with you when there's continual working sin in your life. You want God's power in your life, you need God's purity in your life. The two go hand in hand. You want more power, you need more purity. Wash yourselves clean. Come to Christ. Confess before Him. Ask His forgiveness. Receive His restoration of fellowship. Second, put away evil. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Even this season, over the holidays, you will be faced with compromise. Young people, you will be faced with compromise. Things that will come your way that is hard to say no to. There will be pressure. There will be peer pressure. And to be able to stand under that peer pressure is going to be difficult. And you're going to need help. Christ can help you, but that's another reason you need to stay in fellowship with believers, because we can help you too. But you're going to be challenged. And when you ask God to forgive you of your sins, you do a U-turn. You put it away from you. Many times the problem with us is that we ask God for forgiveness, but we know very well that the same sin we're going to do again the next day. 2 Chronicles 7 is a promise from God that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do a U-turn. Yes, we humble ourselves, we pray, we seek His forgiveness, but then we must turn from our wickedness. We turn from it. Third, learn to do good. The Bible says, the passage in Isaiah 1:17, stop doing wrong, learn to do right. Simple, basic, how do we learn to do good? What is the best way of learning from the teacher? Who is the best teacher that we have? Not Casey. It's none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Hebrews 4:15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest. We have a teacher who understands us, who knows us. And He has taught us with His teachings. From the age of 12, the Bible records that the people, the other men, the learned men, the scholars and the priests were astounded at His wisdom and understanding of the things of God. They didn't realize at the time He was God. This man was God Himself come in flesh and living among them. How awesome was that? How awesome would that have been to have Jesus come in here with us and stand in front of us and teach us? They had that. But I want you to know we have His teaching as well. If we will listen, if we will learn, if we will glean from it, if we will hold on to it, not let it go, if we will allow it to impact our lives and to change us and to let Him be our teacher, and we learn the way He wants us to live, and we open ourselves up and say, God, Your will be done in my life. God, if there's anything not pleasing to You in Your sight, show me. I'm willing to confess it. I'm willing to leave it. You're the boss. I'm the servant. If you do these simple things, you will learn how to live godly in a corrupt world. You will keep a focus, even at this time of year, at this season, when so much distraction in our lives is going on. Wash yourselves clean. Put away evil. Learn to do good. Will you please stand with me? I got a couple of simple questions in closing. Please close your eyes. Let's have some privacy at this time. It's time to make some decisions. It's time to react, to respond. God has spoken. His Word has spoken to us. The message that He said then is relevant, and He says it to us today. God doesn't change. His truth doesn't change. Now we must respond to His truth. I want to ask you, have you been guilty of this thing of playing church? Have you been playing church in one way or another through a lack of concern for lost people? And you can say, you know, in my heart it's been mostly about me. God, what can You do for me? God, bless me. Bless my family. Give me good health. Help me to make more money. Help me to get what I need, what I want. But there's not been a real lack of concern for lost. Have you been playing church? Have you been playing church in your attendance? Kind of giving God whatever is left over. Yeah, God, you know, I'll go to church, but it's just not a priority to me. It's not that important to me. Let me tell you, you're playing church. Jesus established the church. The Bible says, don't stop meeting together, but even more, as you see that day approaching, the day of Christ. Are you playing church in your commitment and your attendance? Are you playing church in your appearance? Putting on that spiritual super costume. And just your focus is trying to impress people with your spirituality and how you speak, how you look, how you, you know, what you do. And you realize underneath all that, the real you is struggling. So my question to you is, are you playing church and are you tired of it? Are you tired of it? And will you today say, I'm not wanting to play church anymore, God. I want to be the church. I want to be the church. If that's you, and if you're willing to say that, I no longer want to play church, I want to be the church, I want to ask you to quietly raise your hand up. Just say, that's me. I'm tired of playing the church. I want to be the church. I want to be the church of the living God. Would you lift your hand? Lift your hand. Lift it up. Don't be shy. If God's spoken to you about this, and say, no more. No more. I'm tired of this. Keep it up. Keep it up. All over the room. All over the room. Praise the Lord. Put your hand down. We're going to pray in a moment. And I want you to pray with me. And you're not going to leave here the same way. But the second thing, listen, my heart always burdened for a person in the room who has never received Jesus as their Savior. Maybe you're here today, you didn't know what you were coming to. Maybe you're not sure why you're even here. But God knows. And you've heard today your need to make a conscious decision to trust Jesus, to forgive you, to cleanse you, to give you a new life. If you're here today and you've never done that, but you believe God is calling you, and you want to receive Him, if that's you, would you just quietly lift your hand up where you are and say, God's calling me. I want to receive Him as my Savior. I know He's calling me. I've never trusted Him, but I want to. Would you just lift your hand up? Anywhere? Lift your hand up high. Don't be shy on this one. I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hey, listen, if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to do something, and that is step out to the altar here at the front. Step out to the front here. Come and kneel before the Lord, and I want to have a word of prayer with you. But I'm going to ask you to step out where you are and come. Will you do that? Will you come right now? We're going to pray in just a moment. I want to pray for you. Those of you who raise your hand, do you mean business with the Lord? Come right now. Come. Those of you who said, I don't want to play church anymore, I want to be the church. Will you come? Will you come? I'm going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. But if you mean business with the Lord, if you're tired, if you've been playing church in any of these areas, a lack of concern for the lost, just in lackadaisical about your church, your attendance, or playing church in your appearance, would you come? Is there any others? Would you come? We're going to have a word of prayer, but I urge you to be a part of this prayer. Be a part of this prayer. Will you come? Let us pray together, and let us all lift these up in our hearts. Father, I come before You thankful, Lord, for Your words that have spoken to us, and Lord, for these that have come and they're saying, Father, I don't want to play church. I truly want to be the church of Christ. I pray that You would give them, Lord, that power, Your power. Lord, I pray that You would give them a passion and a burden for lost, a burden for people, a love for people. I pray that they wouldn't be lax in what they're doing, that they would see, Lord, the importance of what You've called us to, the importance of eternity, and that You would give them a fire that burns hot in their souls, that You would ignite them, Lord, and don't let that fire go out. I pray that they would draw close to You. Lord, that they would in their hearts confess, Lord, anything that they have allowed in their lives that should not have been allowed ever. I pray, Father, that You would give them the strength, Lord, to put away anything evil and to learn to do right, to devote themselves, Lord, to Your teachings, the Master Teacher. Lord, lift them up. Be their strength. Be their encouragement. And even as they leave this building, leave this place, and go into other places, I pray, Lord, that You would strengthen them, strengthen their resolve today. Lord, I pray for the church as a whole, that we would not be content to play church. Don't give us that contentment ever. In Jesus' name.